This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, the federal election, otherwise known as the Battle of Ideas, they are off and running. Adam Carr, our resident sophologist.
Good morning to you, Adam.
How are you, mate?
Good morning, Tass. Good morning, Macca.
I've got to ask a quick question. Did you manage to... We were trying to get rid of a whole lot of books recently. Did you get rid of some?
I've got rid of about half of them. I've still got quite a lot. If you'd like any, you're welcome.
I am at the risk of being in trouble at home. I might take you up on that offer to come around and have a look because I love a good book.
Please do.
I love a good book. Tash.
So, Adam, are you excited that the election has finally been called?
I think relieved more than excited. It's been a long wait. I think everyone connected with the process just wants to get on with it. So now we're underway.
So were you surprised that it happened when it happened? Because it is a bit unusual.
It happened on Sunday, which is the usual routine, but they chose to announce on the Thursday, which saved the government a day of possible trouble at Senate estimates in Canberra. There's also, I think, a matter of timing because of Easter and Anzac Day and other factors. They decided this was a better deal, but it doesn't make any practical difference, I don't think.
It also allowed a little bit more time to get some decisions through and some appointments made. So there's been a fair bit of criticism about a key decision that certainly interests a number of our listeners around Adani and, of course, a number of the senior board appointments that have been made to former Liberal MPs and staffers. What are your reactions to all of that?
Well, both sides of politics do appoint former MPs to diplomatic positions and government boards and things like that. And in some cases, they're well qualified for those jobs. I think being a politician is actually a good background for being a diplomat, for example. Some of the others are a bit dodgy.
A bit dodgy. A bit dodgy.
Okay, well, I'm trying not to be too political here.
Okay.
The Adani decision obviously has angered a lot of people to sneak that in at the last possible minute.
Yeah, but it wasn't a surprise. I mean...
No, it wasn't. No, it's been clear for a long time that this government and Melissa Price, the Environment Minister, intend approving the mine. Tony Burke, the Shadow Minister, has said that a Labor government will fully apply existing environmental law, which this government has not done. That will make the further progress of the project difficult, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
We had John Pesutto in, and we're talking particularly about the seat of Kooyong. He thinks Josh will hold the seat, but my view is with the vote splitting between potentially, you know, okay, there's a Labor candidate, there's Oliver Yates, an ex-Liberal, as an independent, and Julian Burnside, that's got to impact on Josh's vote, and I wonder whether he might be forced, you know, if he was, I think last time he was about 56 or 57%. If he dips below 50%, he'll be forced to preferences, won't he?
He has a margin of 12.8.
12.8, okay.
In normal times would be regarded as pretty safe. But you're right, he's facing an unusual level of challenge in what has been, of course, you know, the blue ribbon Liberal seat. Yep. It was Menzies' seat, it was Peacock's seat. And he's clearly a bit worried. I mean, he's spending a lot of money on, you know, billboards and advertising and stuff, as is Tim Wilson in Goldstein, as is Greg Hunt in Flinders.
You mean Tim the modern Liberal?
Tim the modern Liberal.
Is that like thoroughly modern Millie?
Something along those lines. He's clearly trying a bit of brand differentiation because they know that Scott Morrison is not particularly well liked in Melbourne. They saw what happened at the state election, where these areas swung very heavily to Labor. So they clearly are a bit nervous. But I'd be surprised if Labor was going to win Kooyong or Goldstein.
Yeah.
Higgins is certainly a chance, but as I think we talked about this last week, the fact that they're worried about those seats, the Liberals, and that they're spending money in those seats is money they're not spending in Latrobe and Chisholm and Deakin and Dunkley, which are the seats Labor actually needs to win. Labor
doesn't. Okay, so just give us a roll call of the list of the seats in Victoria that we need to watch.
They're the usual suspects. After the redistribution, Dunkley, which is the seat based on Frankston, is a notional Labor seat now, but it has a sitting Liberal member, Chris Crufer. Corangamite, after the redistribution, is absolutely 50-50. Sarah Henderson is the sitting Liberal member there. Then Labor is trying to win back Chisholm, which they lost last time. Mm-hmm. The sitting member, Julia Banks, has decamped to run against Greg Hunt in Flinders as an independent. So Gladys Liu is the new Liberal candidate, and Jennifer Yang is a Labor candidate. Two Chinese-Australian candidates running in a seat which has got quite a large Chinese population now. Latrobe out in the southeastern corridor, held by Jason Wood, is another prospect that Labor's chasing, and Deakin in the northeastern suburbs, held by Michael Sukkar, who was very prominent in the overthrow of Malcolm Turnbull. So people are talking about Casey and Aston and Monash. I think they're long shots.
Yeah.
There's also McNamara, where, as we talked about last time, Michael Danby has retired. And the Liberals have some hopes that the loss of his personal vote will make the seat competitive. The Greens will be trying again in Cooper, which, of course, after the Batman by-election, their position there is probably not particularly optimistic against Jed Carney. They're also trying the Wills against Peter Khalil, and they're trying in McNamara and in Higgins. So there's there's also Indi, where
Cathy McGowan's retiring.
Yep. Has retired. So the Liberals are I would think, have a pretty good prospect of winning that seat back. Mallee, where the sitting National Party member, you may remember, was disgraced and is retiring, there's a big field running there. So clearly people think that Mallee might be vulnerable, not to Labor, but to an independent. There's three independents running in Mallee. So there's plenty of seats to look at in Victoria.
So the government starts behind the eight ball, as we know. They don't have a majority.
Right.
Labor needs to win five or six seats.
Net five seats, yes.
Yep.
To win a majority. I mean, if they win four, then, you know, the Greens member, Adam Bandt, would probably support a Labor government. If they win three net, then they'll have to talk to Andrew Wilkie or whatever other crossbenchers there are. But five would give Labor a majority, assuming they don't lose any.
Well, I stick with my prediction of Labor by 12 seats.
Okay.
Well, that's a fairly heroic. You know, people are predicting
heroic.
It's a big ask.
Or courageous.
It's a big ask.
Courageous, yes.
Adam, what's your assessment of the week's activities? Where do you think the key parties are standing at the moment? What's their performance been like?
We had, as we discussed last time, when we were waiting for the spate of polls after the budget, news poll did show a bit of a shift back to the Liberals. The Ipsos poll actually showed us when the other way, so you can take what you want out of that. There's no doubt Labor is starting in front, but historically we do tend to see a tightening of elections as the campaign goes on. The Liberals are hoping their massive propaganda assault about Labor's tax plans will scare middle-class voters back into their ranks. Labor is hoping that Labor's tax plan is more weighted towards lower and middle-income earners, plus Labor's promises on Medicare and health and education, the usual issues that Labor does well on, health, education and also climate change. Labor is hoping that those issues will cut through and that the Liberals' tax campaign won't cut through. So we'll just have to wait and see how those issues balance.
So what's your assessment of their performance? How would you score each of the main parties out of 10?
Out of 10 for this week, how do you rate them?
Well, it depends. I think it depends on where you're looking from. As we know, as we were saying before, I don't think Scott Morrison's very sort of loud Sydney dad in a baseball cap image is going down very well in Victoria. But it probably is going down fairly well in Sydney and probably also in Queensland. The tax issue certainly will, voters in middle-class seats will certainly be pondering whether they think Labor's tax plan will advantage or disadvantage them. I think it's too early to say whose tactics are proving more effective until we see which way the opinion polls are going. They haven't really, you know, they'll really start getting in gear from this coming Monday. We'll see, you know, massive advertising campaigns and increasingly online advertising, which is where Now you go to reach younger voters in particular.
Can I just ask that marriage equality, we saw an incredible result there in terms of the vote, but an incredible uptick in the number of enrolments. Now, a lot of those people that enrolled were younger folk. They're going to be voting in a federal election for the first time, and hopefully they do vote. Do you think both parties are going to be looking to target that demographic, aren't they, those recent voters that previously perhaps didn't show much interest in politics?
Well, the last time I looked, there were still 40% of eligible 18 and 19-year-olds were not on the rolls.
Yep.
Enrolments closed this Thursday, the 18th, so I hope your station, which has a lot of young listeners, will be telling them to get on the rolls.
Absolutely.
Certainly issues like marriage equality, which of course is now done and dusted, so it won't be an issue in this campaign, but particularly climate change. Climate change is the issue that most motivates large numbers of young people. And clearly Labor and the Greens have an advantage over the coalition. We just saw Tony Abbott again yesterday saying that climate change isn't settled and he doesn't believe it. And every time one of them say things like that, they antagonise large cohort of young voters who think that climate change is the most important issue facing the country. So that's going to be a problem for them. I think, again, particularly in Victoria, where opinion, I think, is more sort of to the left on this subject than it might be in other parts of the country.
Adam, how often can we expect news polls to occur between now and the election? Are they a sort of a weekly occurrence, a bi-weekly occurrence?
I think we'll get at least one major poll every week. Probably more as we get closer. I'm not sure if News Poll usually comes out every fortnight. They may take them more regularly now during the campaign, but there'll certainly be somebody polling all the time. Plus, of course, we always get news leaks about private polling and party polling. Take that with a grain of salt. There's a well-known game of managing expectations by releasing so-called private polling, showing, we're definitely not going to win this seat in the hope that the opposition, will be lulled into... You know how this game works. But the public polls, there will certainly be a flood of them now that the campaign is up and running.
Now, what are you going to be doing on election night, Adam?
Not entirely sure yet. I'll see what offers I get.
Well, we're not sure, but we might be doing an election night broadcast. We'd love to have you as part of that. We just need to work out the schedule.
You might be Macca.
I know, Tass will be...
I'm going to be glued to the TV.
Tass will be down on near the foreshore.
I'll be glued by the TV.
Yeah, he will.
Well, yes, I did come and do some talks with you last time. I remember we were talking to Tim Wilson about marriage equality. That was good fun, so I'm certainly interested in that, but it'll depend on what else I've...
No, that's cool. Even if it's just a quick cross on the phone, because I think
it's
going to be a challenging night.
Adam, always great to have your insights as we sort of gear in. This will be, obviously, we'll be speaking with you weekly as we get to the election, just to gain your insights about how things are travelling. So we look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. Carr, our own community's resident psephologist.
That's right.
Isn't that a great word?
Can you spell it?
Yes, I can, actually.
There you go, on.
Psephologist.
Correct.
And it's actually, its origin is two Greek words.
Oh.
The word psephos, which means to vote.
Psephos.
Oh. And the word ology, which means to study. So it's the
study
of
the vote.
Voting.
There you
absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. So there you go, Macca.
Thank you, yeah.
always good to hear what Adam has to say.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.